ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. We've got some fun stuff coming up at 11:30, right, Greg? We're going to be a little game, a little giveaway.
Yeah, we're going to be giving away some gear.
A bunch of stuff.
Yeah, it's a really cool promotion, actually. We're going to be giving away a Lakers jersey, a Lakers limited edition collectible figurine from Small Stars, which you know are pretty cool.
Anthony Davis and LeBron James.
Who's the jersey?
James.
Caruso?
They're really cool looking.
I'm not sure.
It doesn't say.
It does not say, but you're going to get exclusive access to our Lakers virtual watch party on July 30th
right.
And a $75 Pizza Hut voucher.
And you know who's hosting that watch party?
The
Kamenetsky brothers. That's right.
Oh. You guys are all over the place now, by the way.
$75. We're, you know, this is not the best time in sports media to be invisible.
You're right. But I'm just saying, I like
it.
You
out there.
I like it.
Thank you.
You guys do a good job on the late night show. I like the way social does it. You don't have to tune into everything to follow it. You know, it pops up and reminds you. It's a good job.
We wouldn't mind you tuning in. Oh, tuning in everything on the station, you mean, to follow?
No, but I'm saying, like, if you don't have the feed up entirely, the ESPN LA feed, like, updates you on what was just said so you can sort of follow
as
topics go. It's smart.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we'd like to have you back because we want to see – we need an update for your talking wall.
Yeah, that has had – I'll tell you the next time I come on the show. How about that? Professional tease, y'all.
Oh, I love that. So you get us and $75 worth of pizza to eat while you watch us. That's a lot, Greg. That's a happy thing to win. We'll do that at 11:30. Fun game set up for it.
Looking forward to it.
So there was a long time when I was like, why is everybody going to Orlando? Is this a good idea? You know, I'm excited about it, Clint. I want to see NBA basketball. I like the bubble. It's a fun thing to talk about. It's a fun thing to make jokes about.
You're a bubble guy.
I'm a bubble guy in terms of content, but I didn't really want to go to the bubble. You know, I didn't feel safe going to the bubble. I have done a 180. I've decided that the NBA bubble in Orlando is literally the safest place in America where you can still see other people. I can move out to a ranch in Montana and not be within 40 miles of anyone, and that is technically safer. But that's really not me. I'm not a ranch guy. If I want to be around other people, the safest place in America I've decided is probably the Orlando bubble that the NBA has set up because it's everywhere else is just exploding.
This is fair.
It's kind of amazing that that's where we are.
We've had a couple existential crisis conversations here. The vacation convo last week. And now we're on the safest place in America. But it's along the same lines. And you might be right. I mean, that's what Greg Popovich said, right? Am I safer here than I am at home? Most likely. People also don't realize this about Disney. Dog, Disney security is no joke.
Like, oh, God, no.
I mean, if you're trying to get in and get out and you think you're going to be pulling some shenanigans, nah, bruh, that ain't working. Disney's a no-fly zone for those who don't know. Like, that's how intense that is. You know what I'm saying? But the thing about the bubble for
now,
me
and
is
just to clarify, you don't mean like no-flies or like that kind of behavior is not going to fly here. You mean you literally can't fly over it.
Airplanes are not allowed.
Airplanes, right, exactly.
Over Disney, right. The thing about the bubble to me is that there's just so many different characters involved in the NBA that if something happens where, you know, they, God forbid, have to cancel for, you know, 2 weeks or a month or whatever, like the players are going to get blamed, just flatly. And there are so many different people there that I don't think that that's necessarily fair. We've seen all
of
these kind
of. Will? If the worst story we see about somebody breaking quarantine is Rashawn Holmes going a little bit past the border to pick up his Postmates, I'm not actually sure that's true.
Yeah, but people are going to think that it's something that had to do with the players, which is why something spread. That's just what happens. You know, people assume the players represent all of the NBA all the time. And if something breaks out, certainly people are going to start blaming dudes that they assume broke quarantine because we know about their personalities. J.R. Smith, I'm talking to you. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that I think he's going to do anything. I just mean that there are a lot of easy scapegoats from a personality standpoint in the NBA. So, like, I just really want this thing to go well, man. The content is already pretty strong. You know, we got
a nice new lane
here. I'm kind of looking forward to this. I'm trying not to get my hopes up too much so I don't get let down. But I like what we're looking at. You're right. Would you go, though, like for real?
I mean, would I go? The only reason I wouldn't go at this point is like, I don't like, if I could bring my family, it's like, I don't want to be away from my family for 4 months.
Don't cop out.
Like,
but, you know what I mean? But, no, if they like, said, hey,
would
the Kamenetsky brothers.
Would I go? From a professional standpoint, yes. From a personal standpoint, I wouldn't want to, but like, I wouldn't feel unsafe. I would be like, this is interesting and it's safe. And as long as I don't break the rules, which I wouldn't, where am I? I don't go to the club now. I don't go out to eat that much now. Like, I didn't go out to that much to eat when I was allowed to go out to eat. Restaurants were open. I could sit wherever I wanted inside of them. I didn't do that. We don't go out to eat a lot. Like, it's like my life doesn't change that much being inside the Orlando bubble. I'm in a West Adams bubble right now, basically, a mid-city bubble right on the border. Like,
Greg, would you go? Greg, would you go? A mid-city bubble. I love it.
Yeah, I don't. I don't think I would go for my family. No, I would not go inside there.
I don't think I would either. And for one reason only. It's still in Florida. I'm terrified of Florida. I got cases all over the shop. And that's what I mean. If some stray cab driver you know, I don't know. I'm terrified.
You know how I feel about – Clint, do you know how I feel about Florida?
I mean, I'm guessing you feel how everybody else feels about it. Do you follow Florida Man on Twitter?
It is the single worst by a lot of what I call the real states. There are certain states in America that are for filler, so you can get up to 50. You know, because not every state can be gigantic. You got to organize this thing somehow. There are certain states that aren't real states. They're not.
This
they're
is such
like
an
you
LA
know.
Take. I love it.
It is no. But I mean, look, it's from a Midwesterner. You know, I grew up in the Midwest. Florida is a horrible place. Of the places that are real, there are worse places in the country than Florida that have less infrastructure, less things to do, restaurants. Okay. Of the real places, it's the worst place in America. It is an awful state. I hated Florida before the pandemic blew up there. I had no interest in going to Florida before the pandemic blew up there. There's nothing about that state that I like particularly, except for a few days in Miami or the Keys, but I don't even count them because I think they're a different country. I think they're in their own state. Miami's not Florida, it's Miami.
I'm trying to think of my favorite thing in Florida overall, and I can't come up.
What is it?
I don't know.
It's Miami, but I Miami's not Florida. It's Miami. I've had this discussion with George too, and I think he agrees with me.
Miami is, I'm thinking like more specifically than that. Like, if somebody said you can go to one thing in Florida for the rest of your life, God. And you only get to pick one, I don't even know what it would be.
Pass, hard pass. Can I go to two things in? Can I go to two things in California? Two things.
I mean, it'd probably be Disney.
I could probably find two things in Texas that I want to go to more.
Yeah. That's true. I like Texas.
It wouldn't be South Beach for you?
Sobe? I'm not a Sobe guy. I'm a Wynwood. Oh, you know what? What am I talking about? Of course, Wynwood is my favorite thing. I'm a huge street art guy. And Wynwood, the neighborhood?
Okay.
Miami? Yeah. Okay. It took me a second to get there, but Wynwood
is
cool.
There's not even like a golf course down there that I'd be like dying to play on or something like that. Like, I can't think of one. It's a terrible place. That Bugs Bunny thing where he saws off Florida and it just floats out in the ocean. Cool.
Yo,
with that.
Evergreen content with that.
It really is. Has there ever been a cartoon that has just like a bit from a cartoon that has stood the test of time better than Bugs Bunny sawing off the state of Florida and it
a
just
cartoon
floats in
that
Atlantic?
Old? Absolutely.
Right.
Not. You know?
I mean, that is prescient on so many levels.
Huh. Oh, man.
So, but I still think that place is probably the safest place on earth. My only other question, like, do you know, have you seen anything? Because the Reddit yesterday was lit up by the people who were talking about the scenario in which somebody puts like LeBron James in a sack, essentially kidnaps him, walks to the border of the bubble and throws him over it. And then he's forced to quarantine again.
Hold on, what? I saw you guys talking about this on a text thread, and I did not
see it? Okay, yeah. So on Reddit,
I've been a little
like,
busy
happens?
With a football franchise the past couple days. I apologize.
Well, I know, I'm sorry.
Occupying too much of my brain, but no, go ahead. Tell
me. You talked about, you mentioned like you were all having these sort of mini existential crises. I think mine are probably a little more minor than yours. I think it's fair to say.
Okay. I just missed but.
Right, so on Reddit, somebody put up the scenario after the Rashawn Holmes things, which apparently all he really did was just go a little too far, step out over the, you know, to pick up his postmates. Right. But like, what if they use the Lopez brothers as examples on the Bucks before the finals, essentially just kidnapped LeBron and threw him over the border of the bubble, like 5-10 feet over the border. So LeBron crosses the threshold and in theory, according to the rules, would have to quarantine again.
Okay, like so what, sabotage what happens is what we're in that
scenario?
To.
It's a sabotage scenario.
I don't know. I mean, how do you do that with LeBron though? Like people always talk about, oh, LeBron so you take is a lot soft. Of folks. LeBron is soft. LeBron can't do this. If LeBron had played in the 80s and 90s, he would have not been nothing because dudes are too hardcore. Let me tell you something. If LeBron James had played in the 80s and 90s, he would have ended 10 careers with 10 punches to each guy. So don't tell me about how LeBron ain't hard. He just can't fight, so he doesn't fight. Big difference.
No, but if you're trying to kidnap him and stuff him into a giant burlap sack, he's going to fight. And you better bring more than the Lopez, but you're going to have to bring a crew. But it's the general principle of sabotage by throwing somebody over the border of the bubble.
Dude, Reddit is out of control. That's an interesting one, because if people make a mistake, though, it's really where it's applicable. Because if somebody wanders off, you know, and it's, I don't know, it's important who they are to their team, that's a good question. I don't think
if LeBron steps
really
5 feet. If LeBron accidentally steps 10 feet over the border, something like that, is the NBA really going to make him go into quarantine before the second round of the playoffs?
I think they would probably delay the games before they would do anything, honestly.
Until he comes back.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, you could probably get away with it, too, and just say, hey, health break, 2 weeks, we'll see it. Don't even name LeBron. Just say, we're going to chill in a little side quarantine.
Everybody just needs to,
like a water break in soccer now.
Like clear our heads.
They do that now. They stop halfway through soccer games in halves to just drink water. I feel you could take it like that. Just sweep it under
2 week water break. Dang. It's not a terrible idea.
You know what we should
have another. What?
Quickly, we should have a snitch line for ESPN LA. Just saying. That would be fun. Like as a bit, people call up the line.
See people, that's an interesting question. Yeah.
That'd be funny.
Well, let's explore that.
I'm going to noodle that.
I think we have to get. We're also about 20 minutes away from a great Lakers package attached to the return to play on the 30th. More details on that when we come back. Brian Kamenetsky, Clinton Yates filling in for Sedano, 710 ESPN. BYT. BYT.
Was that your falsetto?
It's not good. It ain't good.
I like the effort.
It's not something. If you're going to put out a jam like that, it's a great song. I'm going to try to sing along with it. And you can't be the guy who tries to sing an octave down. PYT, pretty young. No, you got to
excellent
make
point.
The
you got to reach for it. You got to reach for it.
You got to do it. You got to try, and you can put yourself out there. And if you fail, you fail. But at least you know, as Wayne Gretzky said, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Brian Kamenetsky, Clinton Yates filling in for Sedano, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote today at progressive.com. It ain't game day, but you can still feast like it is. Meet Church's new $5 Campfire Smokehouse Chicken, our fan favorite, with a new campfire flavor plus mashed potatoes and a biscuit. Church's bringing that down-home flavor. Offer valid at participating locations. Clinton, we're 15 minutes away from Lakers Fan Friday, where we're going to give away stuff. Lakers prize pack. It's got a Lakers jersey, a Lakers limited edition collectible figurine from Small Stars. These things are really cool. If you haven't seen, I'll try to send one out over my Twitter feed at Cam Brothers. Exclusive access to our Lakers virtual watch party on July 30th and a $75 Pizza Hut voucher. A man can order a lot of pizza for $75. I don't care.
A lot of breadsticks, too.
Oh, sides.
I'm a big breadsticks guy.
Pizza Hut?
Massive breadsticks guy. Cheesy garlic? Get out of here. Gotta have it.
Does that apply to everything or like just at Pizza Hut? Are you like, do you go to Olive Garden and just consume the bottomless breadsticks?
I mean, I don't really go. I don't even know where an Olive Garden is in Los Angeles. I'm serious. That's like the one thing I have not seen since I've been here is an Olive Garden. Where is there an Olive Garden?
I have no idea.
I'm not one of these people.
That's not me being snooty. I have no idea where an Olive Garden is.
Yeah, I'm not too good for Olive Garden. I just haven't seen one, so I don't know.
No, it's like, you know, people say, when you go to Walmart, like you can't go to Walmart in L.A. If you live in L.A., you don't shop at Walmart. There is no Walmart. Like you got to get, you're right. We're Target people. Thank you, Laura. You got to go to the outskirts before you can even find a Walmart. It's not that we're being snobbish. There just isn't that choice.
So Greg, let me ask you this, because breadsticks are one option. The Choco sticks in some pizza worlds are another. How do we feel about these? Do you guys know what those are?
I am not a Choco Stick. I don't even know what that is.
What is that?
It's like it's almost like a dessert, but it's hot and it's chocolate and bread, if that makes sense. You know? It's like a brownie in a more of a breadsticky form. I guess is the best way to describe it. I don't know. Anyway, moving right along. I'm just thinking.
Well, I mean, it's hard to screw up bread. Like if you make, there's certain bread that doesn't last very long. Like if you fast food bread, whatever it might be, and like as long as it's warm, it's pretty good. It's like pizza. If your pizza is hot, it's hard for it to be terrible. It may not be great, but it's hard for it to be terrible. So, I mean, I'd probably eat, but that's Choco Sticks does not sound, chocolate bread does not sound appealing. Either be cake, be a muffin, you know, be a brownie.
Okay, yeah. It would fall between cake and brownie in the taxonomy, in my opinion, which is not really a thing. But
oh, I'd eat that then. That, you're not bread, you know at I mean? That point. You're a dessert. Well, I could eat that.
Okay.
So last night on the oops, that's the wrong window. Can't play that on the air. something in Bergman sent what? It to me. So last night on the late night happy hour, as we get ready for this contest with people, we'll be doing that in 10 minutes. Greg says you can start calling in and just line yourselves up. I wasn't sure if we were allowed to do that, but Greg says it's okay. 877-710-ESPN if you're interested in playing our game to win this great Lakers prize pack. 877-710-ESPN. Michael Thompson was part of a poll that we made last night on the late night happy hour. Who has the best biceps? This came up because we had Oliver Maroney on. He wrote a story about Corey Maggette and Kobe Bryant. And Corey Maggette had some of the greatest biceps that era of the NBA has seen. And so we put out a poll. Who has the best biceps?
Okay.
Corey Maggette, Andre Iguodala, prime Michael Thompson. Have you seen the pictures of prime Michael Thompson's biceps?
Are they more of a sinewy or like a stocky?
Oh, no. They're
because
Maggette's no,
were
they're
more
big.
Of a stocky. You know? Maggette's were like these are, think of a bodybuilder, you think of him, as opposed to like a longer muscle if you have a longer arm, you know?
Yeah. No, I mean, this. I think Michael's were kind of a combination of both because he's got really long arms. But these, he was yoked. I mean, he was, the photos, Michael put it out. We've been putting it out. It's worth looking at. He actually carries it in his wallet. He loves the photo so much of him with his biceps.
Okay, so here's what I was going to say. Here's what I was going to say as to why I believe that. Because I've met Michael. He operates like a dude that's pretty yoked and could take you out at any given time. So I believe that at one point in his life, he was certainly big enough to bang somebody out via those biceps.
So I just tweeted you the I just tweeted it to you. So you should be able to see what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Here. He is extraordinarily proud of it, and rightly so. We had that, Michael. And
oh,
then we had,
whoa!
In the other category,
I have
a lot
never
of
seen this picture.
Like David Boston, tight end, when played in Arizona.
You've never seen that photo, Clinton?
I've never seen this photo.
This is a
Let's
photo
break this
that
thing
he,
down.
He will show it to you at any moment in any time. All you have to do, it's in his wallet, and he loves it.
Okay, there's a lot of things to talk about on this photo. Let's start from the beginning, which are the trunks. These things are short.
Yeah,
like,
right.
If you got legs that long and that big, I feel like just from a, what we'll call a decency standpoint, you might want to have a little bit more coverage. I mean, dag, these things are not suitable for deep sea swimming. And we're looking at these big old, are these flippers or fins? What do we call these?
No, those are fins.
Fins? Okay. What
fins,
are
yeah,
is flippers
them.
Not a word?
They're all flippers to me.
Yeah, flippers, fins are the same thing.
Okay. And secondarily, well, thirdly, tremendous stash. I mean, look at this. He's getting full extension around the smile. Great facial hair on this. And lastly, this boat in the back looks like these people are having a decent amount of fun. I love this photo. This is fantastic. If I was a Michael
Thompson
fan, why,
you see why
I would
he carries around
my,
his wallet.
My Twitter thing. Yeah, okay. I mean, I wouldn't carry it around my wallet, but oh yeah, he's. I've never seen this. He is huge. I had no idea he was this big.
Oh yeah,
dang.
Oh, but he is upset. He is obsessed with the human form, Michael Thompson.
I can't stop staring at this photograph.
It is entrancing, isn't it?
When you were coming back, I was saying the first thing that you have to look at is the shorts. These things are awfully short, BK. Like.
Yes.
Potentially, you need some more coverage. You need some more coverage in that map.
Well, short shorts were the thing back then anyway. Shorter shorts. You know, we're talking the, you know, mid-80s here.
Oh, yeah, this isn't a style construction, though. This is
right, and when you're
form and decency construction.
But also, you're 6'10". Like, even if you buy the long shorts, they're still going to be shorter on you.
Do we have a backstory on where this was? You're right, though. You're right. Do we have a backstory on, like, where this was or what was happening? Does he give you the story when he pulls the photo out of the wallet as well?
I think it's the Bahamas. I think they're going fishing. Right. Or they're snorkeling or something. And I'm sure if we called him, he'd tell us. There's nothing that Michael likes talking about more than this photograph.
I mean, this dude is having a great time. This has made me happier today. Thank you, Michael Thompson, and thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Huh. Excellent.
But it's 877-710-ESPN, by the way, to get in on the giveaway. We got a fun game set up for that. And Clinton Yates, you will be able to help people as they try to win this Lakers prize pack.
All right.
The guys that I think are always more fascinating are the dudes who just at like the John Crux of the world, where you look at him and go, how the hell are you a professional athlete? And I got to admit, like when Jared Goff came into the league, he was a dude that, like, if we were both at the beach, other than the fact that he's like 6'3 and I'm 5'9, you wouldn't necessarily just automatically look at him and go, that's the professional athlete and that's the sports writer. And that is not because I have a great build. It is because Jared Goff looked like, you know, a guy who sits on his couch and plays video games for a lot of his day.
Yeah, he's in every band,
that to me,
you know?
Yeah.
That's how people
like
him.
Larry Bird never looked like he had a muscle on him. Kevin McHale, like, you see the thing that sticks out with Kevin McHale when he's clotheslining Kurt Rambis is how little definition there is on his arms.
That's true.
Vlade Divac. Like, guys like that, they're all, you go back, there are some dudes, and you wonder how the hell they're in the, how are you a professional athlete? Forget Michael Thompson and those arms. I know.
I'm staring at this picture. This dude is huge.
He is.
And I'm not even looking at his arms. His legs are massive.
Everything. The quads are blasting.
Man, I had no idea. I love this picture. I might want to be this for Halloween.
How do you walk around?
I mean, that's not going to happen. I'd have to take massive amounts of steroids, but I could get the flippers and the shorts.
Could you do it at scale?
Perhaps.
Like, what kind of shape are you in?
This, you know what this is? Greg, this is one of those things where it's a Halloween costume that you take the picture of. You certainly don't wear it around. You know, you just do the pose and, like, stick it on Instagram and say, who am I? And then you, like, do three more things later. It's like, oh, you're Michael Thompson. That's the way you do that.
Yeah, when you actually go to the party, you go in something completely different.
If I'm going to a party, I might actually wear this. Might work out, player.
Oh, yeah.
Good look.
Clint, though, the only problem is,
day right now, by the way,
you have to explain if the problem with this as a costume isn't so much the uniform, which could, I guess, depending on who you are, is problematic, or it's not, because a person like you out, you clearly have the confidence to even contemplate this to try to pull it off. The problem is you got to explain what you are to everyone. Oh, I'm this photo of Michael Thompson from the mid 80s.
Okay, so like, let me ask you this. You've seen this. Greg has seen this. What is the conscience of LA on this? Like, do most people know that this is what Michael Thompson does? Is this how popular is this? I'm genuinely asking.
How popular is this photo?
Yeah.
It's pretty well known. Like, okay. Michael takes it out of his wallet and talks about it on air frequently. It's been tweeted out frequently. It is generally referred to as the picture or the photo. Right. So people know what it is. Not everybody's seen it. It is a picture, you know, whatever, but it's not unknown. This wasn't the debut of the photo, for sure.
No. I get that. I'm just trying to figure out how much of a part of Michael Thompson's personality that I did not know this is, because I have not stopped staring at it since you sent it to me.
Have you ever had a chance to really sit down and just talk to Michael for like a long time?
No, because he sees me on TV.
You are missing out.
The person he sees on TV is the person I am in real life, and he barks at me on the radio. That's why I like him, too. He's the best.
What does he think? You're too, like, political?
No. He just thinks I think I'm, you know, smarter than I am, which, you know, I understand.
Oh, yeah. No, you got
it.
You,
I say a lot of big Michael words on TV, so I get it.
Yeah. The best thing that America has done in the last, like, 10 years is make Michael Thompson a citizen. No question. 877-710-ESPN is the number. We got our game coming up next. We're going to give away a great Lakers prize pack. It includes a Lakers jersey, a Lakers limited edition collectible figurine from Small Stars, and exclusive access to our Lakers virtual watch party on July 30th when the Lakers play the Clippers. I'll be hosting that with my brother. You also get a $75 Pizza Hut voucher. Thanks also to Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change. I cannot say oil change. Visit SoCal All Change for locations and coupons. We'll do that next. Big game to give away all that stuff. Sedano is off. Brian Kamenetsky and Clinton Yates are in. 710 ESPN. 877-710 ESPN is the number if you want to get in on this giveaway. Again, it's a Lakers prize pack. We're celebrating Lakers Fan Friday. Call right now, 877-710-ESPN. You can win a prize pack, including a Lakers jersey, a Lakers limited edition collectible figurine from Small Stars, exclusive access to our Lakers virtual watch party on July 30th, and a $75 Pizza Hut voucher, thanks to Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit SoCal Oil Change. God, I hate that. for locations and coupons. Because every time Clinton Yates and Brian Kimmitz, Clinton Yates filling in for Sedano ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance, guest appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Every time I say oil change, I slide into like some sort of like Texas all drawl. Like, and I don't know where it comes from. And it's the only word that I do that with. And it drives me nuts. I cannot say oil change. It's something. Yeah. It's like I'm an extra in Dallas. It's awful, and it shouldn't happen, and yet it does. All right. So all change. All right. So I have the game, and I'm just gonna do this like John and Steve do. And Greg, if I do it wrong, sorry. You call in. Today's category is where did Lakers go to college? I'm gonna give you a list of Lakers. Give you the names. You have to tell me where they went to college. And if you get five of them, right, Greg, you're right. You win. First person to get five in a row wins, right? Work for you?
Sure.
Okay. So let me ask a quick question as well.
Yes.
I'm supposed to be the lifeline. Am I actually supposed to check or am I just supposed to use my brain?
That's up to you.
Okay.
Yeah. If they use you as a lifeline, it doesn't mean that you know the right answer. They can believe you or not believe
you. Okay, all right. Okay, I got it. Cool.
Sometimes you phone a friend and your friend doesn't know the answer.
Oh, most times I phone friends. They have no idea what I'm talking about. So that's
there you go.
I'm joking.
So, but like as a for example, if I said LeBron James, you would say?
St. Vincent, St. Mary.
Trick question. Didn't go to college. There you go. That would be the correct answer. So we'll start here with Elias in Hawthorne. Elias in Hawthorne, are you ready to try to win a great Lakers prize pack?
Ready.
All right. And you understand the rules, right? I'm going to give you a Laker. You have to tell me where that Laker went to college. All right?
Right. Right.
All right. Here we go. Number one, Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis.
Come on, this is the easy one.
This is the easy one.
I didn't even. Oh my god! Can I use the lifeline?
Sure.
Okay, here's how the lifeline is going to work. I'm going to give you hints, and not the actual thing. The hint is Rupp Arena.
Arena.
Rupp Arena.
Decent hint.
You don't get it off this, you're done. Yeah, sorry, Elias, you're not winning. It's very disappointing. I'm more disappointed for you than anything. Jeff in Fullerton, you are ready to go?
Hello. Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, Jeff, you understand the rules? Here we go.
Yeah, but...
Anthony Davis. Kentucky is the correct answer. You've got one. Four more to go. Kyle Kuzma.
Ooh.
Kyle Kuzma.
I'll have to use my lifeline on that one. I'm not sure about Kuzma.
All right, Clinton.
Okay. This is what I think the clue is. This clue is not that good, but Greg can understand it. My cousin Vinny.
Oh, wow. That's a good clue.
Arkansas?
Incorrect.
No, that was a
great
clue.
Jeff. It's a great clue.
I'll even.
Can I even. like elaborate slightly because I can already see the writing on the wall here on how long this is going to take. The two, you got to remember the famous line from the courtroom scene, the two blank.
Blanks.
You know that, you'll get this right. Al in Inglewood, are you ready to go?
Hey, what's up, man?
All right, here we go, Al in Inglewood. Anthony Davis?
Kentucky.
Very good. Kyle Kuzma, the two?
Kyle Kuzma, Utah.
That is correct. Very Dang. Good. Danny Green. Danny Green.
Oh, God. Danny Green, North Carolina?
That is correct. Very
Ooh,
good.
I had a good
Only
clue,
two
too.
More to
I had
go.
A good clue.
Oh, Al in Inglewood. You can taste the pizza.
Yes.
Quinn Cook.
Duke.
That is correct.
Ooh.
Yeah. All right, Al.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. It's fine. Don't do that, but you really shouldn't. But everybody else behind Al probably is. Here we go, Al. This gets you the thing. Don't choke. Alex Caruso.
Alex Caruso.
Ooh, this one too.
Alex Caruso, the soaring eagle of freedom.
It was Texas A&M.
Texas A&M is correct. Al, you have five answers, and you've won a Lakers Fan Friday fan pack that includes a Lakers jersey, a Lakers limited edition collectible figurine from Small Stars, exclusive access to our Lakers virtual watch party on July 30th, and a $75 Pizza Hut voucher. Thanks again to Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 50-minute drive-through oil change. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for a location and coupons. Al, congratulations. This is very exciting news.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Thank you. Love the happy hour, man.
Oh, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Good job, Al.
Do you guys want to play the rest of it? Al, hang
on.
Let's
give it a rip.
We'll make sure we get all your information. All right, Greg, you play against...
Name is our buzzer?
Name is your buzzer.
No
Greg's
Googling.
Cheating already, though. So
no Googling. I'm telling you, now it's between you and I. No, hey, look,
I'm not Googling.
I have my answer in the air. No Googling.
I got no time to Google. Let's do it.
All right, ready? Here we go.
Yes.
Avery Bradley.
Nope.
No idea.
Don't need to cheat for that. Avery Bradley.
None.
Three, two, one.
You give the
Texas.
Hint now. That's how that works.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'll give the hint. Okay. I'll give the hint. Texas. all right, I'll do better next time. Kentavious Caldwell Pope.
Nope.
Kentavious Caldwell Pope.
Did he go to Kentucky as well?
Your name is your buzzer, Clinton.
Yates.
Clinton.
Kentucky.
That is incorrect.
Oh.
Yeah. I think you're thinking MKG.
You're thinking of the other Caldwell Pope who plays
give me the
league, the other Kentavious.
Give me the
Ugga.
Hint. Ugga? Oh,
mascot.
Georgia.
Ugga, Georgia.
Bergman,
that is correct.
Georgia.
Greg up 1-0.
That's an
Bergman.
Elephant hit. Come on.
Rupp Arena won it.
I guess
that was a pretty good one. Jared Dudley.
Oh, Greg.
Greg.
Boston College.
Boston College. Very good.
I actually knew that. Dang.
Devontae Kaycock.
Ooh.
I'm way Devontae
Kaycock.
Yeah. Hint.
Michael Jordan's birthplace, I believe.
Yates.
Yes. Go Clinton.
UNC Wilmington?
UNC Wilmington. Very good. Nice play.
Wow. That wasn't
Got
nice.
It.
2-1 Bergman. That was a pretty good. I was the only thing I wasn't sure about, I wasn't totally positive that's where he's from, but I'm glad I got that right.
Well, he went to high school.
JaVale,
so.
Close enough. JaVale McGee.
JaVale oh, you should know McGee. This one.
No, I know it because I wrote it down. That's a good hint.
Give their mascot.
We are firing on all cylinders.
What happens in this state stays in this state.
Oh, Yates.
Yes.
Nevada,
2-2. Very good. Here we go. Rajon Rondo.
Oh, Greg.
Yates.
Greg.
Kentucky.
Very good. Kentucky is the correct answer. We'll go first to five. Deion Waiters. forget he's on the team. Dion Waiters.
I'm going to take a guess, Greg.
Greg.
I feel like Syracuse.
You feel like that is the correct answer because it is the correct answer. Yeah. Great job, Greg.
I'm calling shenanigans on that.
No,
let's just throw you off with that. He tried to throw you off with that. I'm going to take a guess.
No,
he set that all up.
Buying himself some time.
Okay.
Got to play the game.
I see what you're doing here.
Got to play the game, Clinton. Mm-hmm.
You busted a sleeve one, Greg.
Mm-hmm.
Kostas Antetokounmpo. Kostas Antetokounmpo.
I need a hint on that.
Or as I call him, tampering.
Can we get a hint, please?
Yeah. Flyers.
Flyers. Oh, Yates.
Flyers. Clinton.
Dayton.
Dayton is the correct answer.
Oh, good. I'm like Philadelphia Flyers.
It is 4-3 Bergman.
See, now that, hold on. That was a good hint because it didn't give too much and it could have sent you the wrong way if you weren't exactly.
It was literally the nickname of the college where he went.
Right, but Greg just told you.
It was pretty on the nose.
With Flyers, I think hockey.
Right, that's why I was
Well, you should think Dayton if you're thinking about college basketball places. Markieff Morris.
Oh, Greg.
Greg.
Kansas.
Kansas is correct. Kansas. Greg wins the where did ever. You can't win the prize pack, but maybe Alan will throw you a little pizza.
So the hint I was going to give for UNC was the ceiling is the roof. I was very
excited. Oh, that would have been a good one, too.
Oh, that is good. I like that. All right. Crosstalk, right? Got that next?
Yep. Crosstalk with Scott Kaplan.
Very good. Talking to Scott Kaplan. We'll do that next. Brian Konecny, Clinton Yates, 710 ESPN. Laura, I was not trying to make fun of you or say that you're not doing your job. I'm saying that I have struggled. My Comrex app went out. I didn't know Passan was on hold yesterday. You know, we didn't quite get through the game in the way I think Bergman was intending. It's not you, it's me.
To use a sports analogy, this is a situation where you would say, this team is really looking forward to halftime. One of those.
We need one of those water breaks that you talk about. They have
exactly, right. That's what I'm saying.
We need to regroup at halftime. One place you can regroup, churches. It ain't game day, but you can still feast like it is. Meet Church's new $5 campfire smokehouse chicken. Our fan favorite with new campfire flavor plus mashed potatoes and a biscuit. Church's bringing that down-home flavor. Offer valid at participating locations. Brian Kamenetsky, Clinton Yates filling in for Sedano. And we'd like to welcome in Scott Kaplan for a little bit of crosstalk. Scott, you've been on your game. Just because I'm falling apart around here doesn't mean that there are professional broadcasters still working on this station.
Well, first of all, gentlemen, let me just say to you, happy Friday, okay?
Happy Friday.
Thank you. And to both of you guys, I would like to say, and I'm just going to say this very candidly and with respect, I was not familiar with either of your work prior to my two-week stint here. And I got to tell you guys, Brian, in your case, I have watched a lot of your podcast with your brother. I enjoyed in particular the one with Dave Damashek the other night.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was fun.
So it's fun to get to know you guys and get to know your work. And Clinton, you'll have to excuse me, but today's the first time I've seen some of your work on ESPN. And did you do this bit about natural sound?
What?
Did I get it wrong?
Yes.
Then I'm sorry.
Sock collars?
What,
sock
say it again?
Collars? Sock collars? Is that what you're referring to? Sound on tape? Okay, let me explain this real quick to y'all.
Yeah.
For those of you who aren't in the TV business, there's a term called a sot, which is sound on tape. Mm-hmm. So the new segment on SportsCenter is us, basically, because there's no crowds, picking up mic noise, you know, and bringing you the fun highlights from each week on what people say on each course and each court.
Dude, I love the bit.
Thank you.
I loved it. Now, by the way, my face just turned red like, oh my God, I got it all wrong. I got the wrong person, the wrong bit. You know what I mean?
But no.
I'm telling you.
The reason
it's
I say that is because nat sound is not always the same. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to get too far into that from a technical standpoint, but yes, you were on the right track, and thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
I couldn't remember what SOT stood for, so I tried not to use the phrase, but I thought it was a great bit because I've been talking a lot about this. What are we going to, as a fan, what are we going to receive? You know, like if you're watching the game on television, then what sort of audio will we get when there's nobody there? And will it impact you as the viewer? And I thought the bit that you did on ESPN was really, really good. It's like, let's hear what's going on down there. And I like it.
I appreciate that. And so what I'm really looking forward to, and this is the main thing I'm looking forward to in general in the bubble, is if players actually show up to other players' games, bro, you got to mic them up. You got to mic them up.
Yes, absolutely.
If Jimmy Butler's in the crowd for some side game, I need to know what he's saying. And I don't want to pick it up on a side mic. Give that dude an actual pack. That's what I'm talking about. So I'm looking forward to that in general. And if you mic them up, even better.
You know how like ESPN would break up the national championship game into like eight different ways that you could watch it if you want. You got this guy over here, natural center.
Yeah.
Right. You need that for like the NBA is sitting on a gold mine of potential ways to both experiment with and also draw fans into like the fan experience here in ways that are you want crowd noise so it sounds like as normal an NBA game as possible. Great. Pump that in. That's what makes you feel good. Good. You want zero sound so you can hear all the defensive communication and the squeaky sneakers and all that. Great. You want to hear 10 guys mic'd up over here? Do that. Like this is, I don't know if they'll go, they're probably too worried about cursing or whatever it might be, but like this is, it's an amazing opportunity. And Clinton, you are exactly right that this is how they should do it.
Well, okay. To be quite frank though, there's kind of one reason why you can't have the players all mic'd up. It's because of people who look like me. That word is said a lot on the court in the NBA. And I'm not sure that's necessarily something that everybody wants to hear, but it is a good idea overall, I think, because people would like that kind of stuff. Dude, you never sat that close to an NBA game. It's real.
You are so right. There have been times where there's been NBA games, and you do get some of the sound from the floor, especially if there's somebody down there holding a mic, or you know they've got mics even down there, but or a coach has a mic on. And there are times where you will hear a guy use a word that in the vernacular of the ball player, that word might be used and potentially acceptable, at least amongst some. And then people who are on TV are like, did he just say what
we're
I
We're getting a little loose
with said?
It. The word we're talking about, listeners, is a word that black people can use that nobody else can use. That is
the
word we're talking about.
I wish nobody would use it. I mean, I wish that, you know, when I turn on, a Drake song, okay, or when I turn on a Nicki Minaj song, and you got to understand, I have four little kids, three girls, and those girls love these musicians. They love these artists, and they hear that word, and I'm like, gosh, I wish these guys and whoever, people in hip hop, people in music, everybody says, well, I can use it because I'm there. I can use it. I'm like, yeah, but you know what? It's sort of you're perpetuating a word that you're saying we shouldn't be using. And, you know, for me, I mean, having been in locker rooms my whole life as a player and then as a broadcaster and as somebody covering it, I've heard it over and over again. And for me, it kind of slides off. But I'm just like, dude, if you guys, you know, if we don't want to use these words, if we want to change the language, if we want to, you know, move forward, gosh, let's stop using that word. That's just
perhaps this is a different perspective than you're used to, but I'm going to present this in a way that I think will make sense.
Please do.
I am black. Both of my parents are black. All my family's black. Mm-hmm. I'm from D.C., which was known as Chocolate City for a long time. That was a dinner table word in my household. I say it every day, and I will say it till I die.
Yeah. No, it's your prerogative, but you understand where I'm coming from, which is you take suburban white kids, you market your music to those guys. They hear that. They use it as a lyric. They become desensitized to it.
I would say that's not hip hop's responsibility.
I think it's one of those things too. It's like, you know, the people who drive me insane are the well, if black people can say it, why can't I kind of thing.
Right. That's the issue.
Right. It's like, and I always like to play it out to its logical conclusion. Let's just say, you know, you and I, we step on the Harvard debate stage and you just out debate me and you win the argument. And like, okay, so what have you won? The right to say the N-word? Congratulations. Like what is behind the compulsion? I'm not obviously talking about your children, Scott. But like, what is behind the compulsion to feel like you need to have the ability to say that word?
Well, it's kind of like that. It's like that Dave Chappelle
white people. Yeah.
Sorry, man. I've interrupted. Go ahead. Excuse me.
No, I was just going to say, like, for us, it's like it's incumbent then on us to be like, yes, this is the word. This is why it's used. And this is why, whether you're singing lyrics, whether you're singing like that, we can't say it and we shouldn't and you shouldn't want to.
It's the simplest rule
ever. That's the responsibility.
If you ain't black, don't say it and don't worry about it. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess.
I know what you're saying, but I'm telling you, I don't want to get too far off on this because I just met you and I believe you're a nice guy. But like, if you're looking for some logic, just go with that. Don't say it.
I'm not really looking for logic. I'm looking to protect my children. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, guys, you can't say that word. They're like, well, I'm singing it. It's a song. It's a lyric. I'm like, yeah, I know. Nope. You can't say it. You just can't do it. And you know, it's something you got to explain to children, you know, especially my kids, in my case, because I'm white, that is not an acceptable term. And if you think it's funny or you think that it's cool because it's a song that you heard that you like the artist, I'm telling you right now, you say that word in the wrong place at the wrong time around the wrong person, expect to get punched in the face.
Which is, by the way, always if you're not black, just so you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
Yeah, it's these are sensitive times.
But
man.
I will say, like, teaching what racism is and like what it isn't, and like all these things, and like how to the sort of the consciousness about race is an interesting process for kids. Like my now 8-year old had a stretch where he was really probably because he was what he was seeing on the news, and you know they go to a school where they talk about these things a lot and whatever. So there was a stretch where he kept starting sentences with, "I don't mean this to be racist." But and as you know, like any sentence that starts with that as an adult, you need to stop talking because what's going to come next is always going to be super racist.
But well, and also the basic, like, hold on. The basic breakdown is very simple. It's not just right. as much about the shock value as much as it's about if you're not a black American, you don't really understand what it means. And that's why the whole mm-hmm. like policing black folks part of it is awkward, because that word means different things in different contexts, in different ways that, okay, I mean, that's just part of our lived experience, you know? And if we're going to claim to be so inclusive, well, you know, sorry, black folks can say that. I mean, sorry, we got one thing, so to speak, you know? Like,
I don't get a vote. Cool. You know? I don't get a vote. It's not. It's an election that takes place out of my precinct. I don't get a vote. Yeah. And I'm fine.
I guess we do the same thing. We're, you know, as Jews, as we're like, hey, we can say that. You can't say that. If you say that to me, you've insulted me. You've called me a name. But me, I'm Jewish. My brother over here is Jewish. The two of us can. That's the way we can say things to each other.
We have a
different language. You know.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. There's a very funny joke by an old comedian named Paul Mooney. He used to say, "I get up every morning. I say that word 100 times before I brush my teeth. It keeps my teeth white," which is funny and stupid and old school from like Richard Pryor era, but you get it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a part of people's lives in a way that they take pride in. And you know, I'm one of those people, man. You know,
that's just cool.
I grew up in the 80s and 90s in DC, dog. It was no joke.
Yeah.
You know, and that word is, I don't know. I mean, I realize that it's harmful, but in private context for what black folks do in America, we're cool on that. We've got it under control.
Yeah. You know, I look at Dave Chappelle. You've seen that bit where Chappelle is the he's the blind white supremacist. Have you seen that?
Of course.
Yeah. And so there's that one scene where he doesn't realize he's African American, and he pulls up to these white guys who are all in like a convertible Mustang. They've got hip hop blasting. They got their hats on sideways. I mean, they're indicating, as a comedian, David Chappelle is indicating to me, these white guys all want to be black guys. And so once Chappelle pulls up and he calls them the N-word, all the white guys start high-fiving each other, celebrating, because they're like, yeah, he called us that. And that to me, as someone who desperately wants to see America create real equality, fix the problems that we've been talking about, I'm somebody who's extremely proactive when it comes to this. I just want us to all find a way to A, get along, B, communicate, and that word, it's just bothering me but I get your perspective. It's like, hey, that's my word. That's mine. I can use it. It's not yours. You can't use it.
It's for us. So, yeah.
It's a longer conversation that we aren't going to be able to finish between now and the beginning of the Scott Kaplan show at noon. Clinton, thanks so much, man. Really appreciate it.
Clinton, great work,
no
man.
Problem,
I enjoyed seeing
guys.
That, dude. That was great.
I appreciate
that was a great bit.
Have an excellent weekend.
Yeah.
Scott Kaplan coming up next, 710 ESPN.